Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live on this New Year's Eve. Thank you so much for being here with us. And we come to the close of, well, it won't be forgotten. The year 2020 will not be forgotten. And wouldn't it be great if 2021 is just the most uneventful year ever? If we get to the end of 2021 and we were like year in review and we're like, that was the most boring year. I would love that. I guess I'm the only one. Okay, Chris Check is here with us. He's president of Catholic Answers. Todd Aguilaro's here. He's the director of Catholic Answers Press. Thank you both for coming back for another hour. Didn't wear you out the last hour.
What's that old curse? May you live in interesting times.
I like interesting times.
Oh, well.
I don't want a boring year.
Good for you.
I don't want a boring year, I will say something about to your point. If this is supposed to be the apocalypse, it's really boring. I mean, could we please have some dragons?
I know, it's
or
just,
something.
It's like the droning on apocalypse.
Oh,
the drones
on
and on.
Yeah,
and on.
No, exactly. T.S. Eliot, not with a bang but a whimper. Yeah, bring on the dragons and the broadswords, for goodness sake. Right?
All right. Well, with that in mind, why don't we just start here? That because we haven't really talked about this at all, or if we have, we just barely touched on it. When we said, let's do a show on the world in crisis in June. And it got, I have to say, having you two on to talk about the crises that we were facing at the time in June got really tremendous support. Like, we got so much positive mail on that. And then we did it again.
Were there checks?
Here he goes again. Here he goes.
I'm sorry. It's
2020
it's,
Gillespie
it's
Way.
A
Just send them to 2020 Gillespie Way, El Cajon, California, 92020.
Yeah. Or give.catholic.com.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Now I'm all flumstered. You flumstered me.
I'm grateful to everyone who supports us, Si.
I know you are. I know you are. I know you call them up and tell them a lot of the time.
A lot. That is true.
But the thing was, when we were doing those crisis shows in the summer and then at the end of the summer, and then the part of what we were talking about was the tremendous social unrest. And I wanted to just get your kind of reflection on that. Is social unrest over, I suppose, is my thing. Because it was this out and out rioting, burning, tearing down. It seemed that the demons had been loosed for a little while. Are we back to civil life, or do you think there's more of that to come?
I heard somebody say on the radio the other day that George Soros is going to have an office in the White House. This is one of these things that, you know, gets shared around. So it'll be up to, you know, what he tells Joe Biden to do, whether they'll be on.
I cannot tell if this is a facetious answer.
It's facetious.
Okay, all right.
No. Oh, by the way, the unrest is not over. Once they come up with some kind of a hung jury or something, or an acquittal or not the conviction they're looking for on the George Floyd cops.
To the extent
there'll be a conflagration.
The Soros gags aside, and who knows what the truth is there, but to the extent that that these things are organized and deployed, as
opposed to being. Hold on, we lost your microphone. I don't know. Somebody hit something there. Okay, sorry. Apparently, we don't want Todd.
That's good. Can I tell
you? Oh, yeah, there he is. He's back. Back. Yeah.
Well, to the extent that they're organized and deployed as opposed to being grassrootsy and spontaneous, and I think there's reason to believe that at least they're partly that.
Oh, then, for sure they are organized and deployed.
Yeah, then there's no way we've seen the last of them. They're
no
too
way.
Useful.
Nope.
Well, the things become kind of cultural habits too. I mean, you know, and if going to the barricades becomes a habit, then it'll just when the next opportunity comes up, we head back out to the barricade. People will have their go bag ready to go.
Well, habits and they're effective. You know, what they can't achieve by democratic processes or by persuasion of ideas, they achieve through fear. And
with the mob.
This is as old as human history, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
Well, and then strange things happen because I just saw this news story that a school in San Francisco, they're going to rename it. It's called the Abraham Lincoln School.
I saw this too. I laughed. I'm sorry.
But the pretext for the renaming of it was he didn't care about
black people. He wasn't sufficiently woke.
And I think, okay, I mean, that's, if you want to argue about Abraham Lincoln and all that, fine. But this doesn't seem to be that. This seems to be a completely anti-intellectual or a rejection of reality in, we're just going to rename everything.
This
has a year zero quality to it.
What you were talking about in the first hour about, or what we were discussing about there, on out again, and there I'm back in, that there's never an end to this constant revolution.
Yeah.
There's no goalposts that aren't.
Oh, I think it's you. I think you're pushing that button
there
with your chair.
Oh, I see.
Chris Jack has been cutting off your microphone.
Now I know how I pushed the cough button, and with Todd's going on too long, I've got this.
Todd's
going
to have an accident again.
I'm so sorry. You're making an important point, but
maybe so, I was. I don't even.
But about the that it becomes a habit that and this revolution becomes
habits are habits. So habits are habits. They're things we do habitually, but on top of that, when they're proven to be effective at achieving your aims, it's a habit you particularly want to maintain.
But I do think as Christian people, not just as Catholic people, but I think we share this with all Christian people, we have to resist that, in that when they come for the statues of certain characters, we have to say, no, you're not taking that statue down. Now, on public property, we don't have any, but you know, when they, maybe we have, say, as citizens, but I'm not saying we're in control. But, you know, when they say rename that Blessed Kateri Tekakwitha Parish, which we have here in San Diego, Saint Kateri Tekakwitha now Parish, because that's some kind of cultural appropriation, we just have to say, no, we're not playing the game, because the game is ending.
I think, frankly, when they say they want to rename the Cleveland Indians, the people of Cleveland should say, no, we're not going to play this game.
But I mean,
I understand that is a considerably more trivial matter. But I like your characterization, Cy, of this whole, it has this whole year zero feel, but it's constantly being reset. It's funny that the Lincoln thing, there are actually things about Abraham Lincoln I admire, his trade policies and the tariffs being one of them. But, eventually the guillotine comes for Robespierre. So we're just going to see there won't be anybody that will be free from the reset.
Well, it seems to me almost like if pretty soon Martin Luther King holiday won't be good enough. It's going to have to be Malcolm X holiday, and then it's going to have to be, you have to find someone a degree more radical and with a tendency towards more violence or something, because you're inadequately radical. I mean, I don't see how if Lincoln comes down, eventually Martin Luther King comes down, and the whole thing comes down.
Well, Well, as I said, the guillotine claimed Robespierre.
Mm. All right, we're going to the poll now, and it's all poll from here on out. We're going to reveal all the big things, and I decided to move this one up because this is so juicy. The pro-life person of the year. Everyone wants to know pro-life person of the year. Do either of you want to take a guess at it or name a pro-life person of the year?
I guess it has to be the justice.
Amy Comey Barrett?
Right.
Got anything? Did you mute him again?
No. Well, it seems like...
Oh, I know who it is.
Forever ago that we had the March for Life...
Oh, yeah, right. That does seem like forever. That literally seems like forever ago.
And there he was.
And there he was.
Donald Trump.
And that's not
the answer is Donald Trump, right?
Well, I'll tell you what. We'll take a break. We'll be right back with the pro-life person of the year, according to the Catholic Answers annual poll.
Yeah.
Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Cy Kellett. Don't forget to check out the latest episode of our podcast, Catholic Answers Focus. You can listen each week to the world's premier podcast on Catholic apologetics at CatholicAnswersFocus.com or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Catholic Answers Focus, now available at CatholicAnswersFocus.com.
The Aquinas Writing Advantage Program is part of Homeschool Connections' set of online courses for your Catholic homeschool. Homeschool Connections' website is HomeschoolConnections.com.
When I begin my prayer time, I always enter into it with the expectation that God wants to teach me something. And it has to start with my willingness to share my heart with God, not just say words at Him. So whether I'm using more formal prayers or a more conversational style of prayer, I have to bring my heart and my life and my real self to God. And by having that dialogue, we're able to enter into a deeper relationship, and He's able to show me how to use all the events of my life to draw closer to Him.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. The big poll we take each year, each December, we poll the members of the Catholic Answers Radio Club about a whole bunch of things that happened this year so we can talk about the year. Right now we're on Pro-Life Person of the Year. You were just saying something great at the break, though, that it does feel like we're in a time fog right now. What happened in 2020?
Yeah, we were talking about some people we thought might be good candidates, but their stories are a year or two old.
Yeah.
And I shared with Cy that I'm so used to metering the change of seasons with the sports seasons.
Right.
And all of those are gone askew.
Yeah.
I mean, we live here in San Diego where the climate gives you very little hint as to what time of year it is.
Right.
And you take the hockey season away and I'm completely adrift.
I have not watched a football game.
Good for you.
I'm done with professional football.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing that. Even football, I have to say, like when the
New Orleans Saints put the name of a man who had a restraining order on their helmet, I said, "That's it."
A restraining order for violence,
sexual violence against a woman.
I didn't. I see you. Yeah. You know too much news. If you knew less news, you could enjoy NFL football. See, you got to be like me.
Ignorance is key.
But even the NFL schedule, which has been basically on schedule, or the college football schedule, but then it'll be like, Sunday's game is moved to Wednesday. So I don't even know what day of the week it is anymore. Yep. Because we need sports to tell us.
I have so much more time too now that I'm not watching football.
I think this might involve a time shift. The number three person for Pro-Life Person of the Year is Abby Johnson, and her movie Unplanned came out in 2019. She is a great pro-life person, and they may not, but I'd feel like there's a little time shift there. But congratulations, Abby Johnson. Third in the voting, and
does she get a ham for that, or what are the prizes?
Third place is not a ham. We can't afford a ham for third place.
One of those Chinese hams.
You get an eraser. You get a decorative eraser for your pencil. Yeah.
What's a Chinese ham?
It's just hams grown on Chinese pork farms where they don't observe, you know, sanitary conditions,
and they
use growth hormones and that sort of thing.
Okay. Yeah.
That does sound good. So congratulations, Abby Johnson, number two pro-life person of the year. The new justice, Amy Comey Barrett, one that I think we can all agree with. Many people mentioning that the dogma lives loudly in her. They were very proud of her for that. Number one, however, I have to say, was an absolute landslide. I do not believe in the history of the poll we have had quite this kind of landslide. President Donald Trump, pro-life person
of the year. Most pro-life president since Roe v. Wade.
This really needs to be spelled out and not to be all rah-rah about Trump, because we can have differing opinions about him.
Yes,
and I have complicated opinionism.
Right, yeah, have different opinions about Donald Trump.
But for forever, people on the political right, Catholics and Christians and social conservatives on the political right, have criticized the GOP for not putting its money where its mouth is with regard to
life,
to life issues.
Quite rightly, by the way.
And with good reason. Yeah. And the failure of allegedly pro-life Republican presidents to appear in person in their backyard, Washington, D.C., at the March for Life is a huge symbolic expression of
the
that.
The deliberate decision not to.
Yes. Yes. And it speaks volumes. And despite Trump's manifest and multitudinous flaws, the courage and the authentic conviction that he showed in putting the weight of the presidency behind the fight to end the massacre and barbarism of abortion cannot be undervalued.
I 100% agree with everything Todd just said there.
I have to say, perfectly said. I don't feel like you can add anything to it, so I'm going to try to add one thing. That this constitutes, in my mind, a miracle. Given that I have been following the career of Donald Trump since he owned the New Jersey Generals and hired Doug Flutie as his quarterback.
Herschel Walker, too, on that team, I think. Yeah.
That's of secondary importance to Doug Flutie of Boston College. Okay, let's...
Yeah, no. I liked his flakes.
Flutie flakes, right. This is not the man you would have thought would bring us the overturning of Roe versus Wade, and it's seeming more and more likely that in the course of history, that is exactly what he is. He's the man that brought us that.
And he could have been what many thought he was going to be, which was a center-left New York City guy who just paid lip service to social conservatism in order to be elected. And there's many things he didn't have to do that he did. And to me, that speaks of authentic conversion, at least on the question of the unborn's right to life. I credit him with that.
Yeah. And he brought his characteristic boldness to it. And among his flaws is his boldness. And among his great qualities is
his boldness. And pro-lifers feed off that boldness.
Yeah, yeah. Right. It's but the fact – I do think even had he not been able to nominate Justice Barrett, the fact that he came and spoke – to the Walk for Life is, I think, would have won him the poll.
Well, and the number of justices he appointed to lower courts, and there's hundreds.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Right. And this is this the overturning of Roe versus Wade is something that should be done as a matter of justice. It should have been done a long time ago. Roe versus Wade never should have been a decision of a Supreme Court. It was bad law from the beginning. Even those who oppose, favor abortion, I think in their hearts they know Roe versus Wade is bad law.
Or it's bad jurisprudence, I guess we should say. There is no law. Mm.
Yeah, exactly. It's right. That's part of the problem is creating laws out of nothing. Ex nihilo.
Chris's point about lower courts is important. We tend to focus on the Supreme Court, and when we want to criticize politicians for not ending abortion yesterday by a wave of their magic executive wand, we don't realize how much of a turf war. And people who are involved in pro-life activism regularly do know this, but many who aren't don't. And the turf war involves the lower courts. It involves the bureaucracy again. So we're about to see a new appointment or a new nomination to the head of Health and Human Services. Have we forgotten the radical pro-abortionism of Kathleen Sebelius, who I think is a Catholic too, when during the last administration?
Right.
And we're going to see the return of the Mexico City policy. And there's a kind of death by a thousand paper cuts quality to politics in general, and certainly to pro-life political activism. And so there's all kinds of kind of under the surface of the water, iceberg-y type stuff when it comes to fighting for life.
Federal defunding of Planned Parenthood.
The funding of Planned Parenthood, and those things aren't as sexy to us as, well, let's end Roe v. Wade right now, and if you haven't done it, you failed as a pro-life president. Well, it's a long, arduous trench war, and he did a lot of things that set us up for that war that are now going to be undone in the next administration.
He has the personality of a guy who can fight in a trench. That's partly why.
Yes, he
has that personality. And like I said, the sometimes our weaknesses are our strengths, and sometimes he's just not. This is a guy who he just didn't. It's so hard to take the 1980s Donald Trump, and if somebody had said to me in the 1980s, you know what this guy's going to do? I'd have said, come on, you're kidding me. So it does seem miraculous in many ways. All right, the Catholic word or phrase of the year. Oh, by the way, Donald Trump does get a ham. Yes, we have to send
Donald Trump. Oh, he'll like that.
He'll get a, yes.
An American ham.
What, are you kidding me?
Hormone free.
I got an American ham. Would send him some kind of foreign ham. I was supposed to say do Catholic word or phrase of the year. It was a total mess. There really wasn't one in the way that there was last year. Pachamama. I mean, everything. Pachamama was everything. Although there was a kind of a trend where people tried to assemble something around free the mass or, you know, so that, but that never really was much of a phrase. So there wasn't an overwhelming winner in that Catholic word or phrase. I don't know what the Catholic word or phrase of the year was.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
All right.
when was the revision to the Catechism on capital punishment? Was that 2019 or was that this year?
Oh my gosh, when was that? 2019.
Yeah, 2019.
Yeah.
Because it would have been inadmissible then. That would have been a good one.
But right. Inadmissible.
But don't ask me hard questions in the middle of the show, Vic.
There's the time fog again.
I know. But there was one phrase I wanted to bring up that was mentioned. And it didn't win. It wasn't even close to winning. But it's a phrase I loathe. I think it's a cruel and divisive phrase. So I wanted to say it, and because several people mentioned it, Pope-splaining.
Oh.
I loathe the phrase Pope-splaining.
I don't loathe it. it's an apt expression for a certain kind of, what do you want to call it, effort.
It strikes me as a phrase that comes out of
there is a disdain behind
disdain.
It.
There's it's full of disdain.
There's,
yes,
there is disdain behind it. There is. It's not a word to use professionally. I would say that. Yeah.
Do you want to do most depressing or most inspiring news story of 2021? Maybe. Well, whatever you want.
Well, I always lean toward the depressing, but don't let me, you know.
I've noticed that about you.
That's melancholia. What can I do?
You know, right. Can we go back to that for a little bit? A little
to
bit.
Pope's planning?
Yeah, it's okay. Just for a little bit. Okay, so everybody understands the phenomenon here, and that is the burden of a faithful Catholic who is a public personality, whose opinions are valued by however many followers he or she has, to put the faithful at ease about something unclear that the Holy Father has said.
Okay.
So this is shorthand for that. But even if there is disdain behind the shorthand, and I concede that, there is this thing that didn't exist in the, for example, Benedict papacy.
Oh yeah, you didn't.
Or
have to.
In right. The John Paul papacy, or frankly, that I know of in any previous ones. So the Holy Father has said some ambiguous things. And a number of people have tried to say, well, I mean, we just had an example of one where he gave an interview several years ago for a movie, and then it was unearthed, and then it had to get explained. And I don't even know that we should be that the matter is completely resolved on the civil unions or exactly what he meant by that. The fact that it is happening, I think, is actually
happening.
Yeah. A news story.
Okay.
I think right. A news story is the wrong word. It's something facing the church right now. And the difficulty for the faithful and for organizations like Catholic Answers is we want people to be at peace. We don't want their peace to be disturbed.
Yeah.
And somebody's peace could be disturbed
but
by a lack of clarity from someone in leadership,
well, right.
Including the Pope.
Particularly when partisans take the lack of clarity and exploit it. And so the example that you just raised, Chris, is a perfect example because it pertained to homosexuality and same-sex marriage and those questions in civil unions, if you recall. And those who are sympathetic toward or enthusiasts for some of those things read in those statements an approval.
Yeah,
Father James Martin ran with this thing. He ran with this thing to move forward his own dishonest.
So when the quote-unquote Pope-splainers who are accused of being anti-Francis, I mean, who are accused rather of being reflexively pro-Francis by those who are anti-Francis, take that kind of statement and whitewash it or tell you had nothing to worry about, that's belied by the way that it's used.
And
not used by some anonymous person on Twitter, but by very influential people in the church who are educated and close to the Holy Father. So that ought to at least put a seed of suspicion in us and have us be shrewd in the way we interpret things that come from Rome.
All right. Okay, fair enough. It goes with a mentality, though, that has that kind of red pill, blue pill. Do you know that whole thing, how that got going in Catholic social media this year?
Well, sure. We talked about this in the first hour. Which side are you on? Or
Yeah. Dividing people up. Yeah, that's what. But fair enough. I appreciate your responses. That was very helpful, actually, because I mostly just...
I guess I'm a little sensitive to it too, because Catholic Answers from time to time, or one of our apologists gets accused of something like this, when in fact what we're saying is, okay, well, there are certain there are limits to the office. These are the opinions of a man. Catholics in the current age of media can get very much caught up in the latest thing that the Holy Father says on an airplane, or how the National Public Radio or Father James Martin or some frankly American bishop is going to run with the thing, and our goal, of course, is to keep people focused on the truth of what the Catholic Church teaches, and for them to be able to find their peace in that, and so we get accused of this,
yeah.
It's a real thing that's happening, and for the foreseeable future, one that
yeah, okay.
I won't say we have to manage, we have to address.
And you can loathe it still, I think, though.
You think I?
Yeah, you loathing can continue.
Nothing makes me feel good like a good loathing. Good loathing. All right, we're going to do most depressing story of the year when we come back. I'm going to tell you the top three answers. I'll just tell them, and then you figure out which one our listeners thought was actually the most depressing story. Cardinal McCarrick report, COVID-19, 2020 election. Those were the top three vote getters. We'll get you. We'll tell you what order they came in right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live.
Bishop Joseph Strickland of Tyler, Texas, is one of the most courageous leaders in the church, known for his outspoken support of unborn life, Orthodox faith and morals, and reforming Catholic institutions. In his groundbreaking new book, Light and Leaven, he offers a forthright perspective on the state of the church today and calls on the lay faithful to meet its challenges boldly. Touching on topics including parish renewal, the centrality of the Eucharist, the need for prayer and silence in a noisy and distracted age, and the battle between good and evil in the church and world, Bishop Strickland's wise insights and evident love for souls will inspire and edify you. To order your copy of Light and Leaven, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
How can a human woman be God's mother? Where in the Bible does it say that Mary was sinless and a perpetual virgin? What can I do to build and deepen my relationship with Mary as my spiritual mother in heaven? In 20 Answers Mary, you'll find biblical evidence for Marian doctrine and devotion, answers to common objections to Catholic teachings about Mary, and guidance on how to imitate Christ as you get to know the Blessed Mother like you've never known her before. 20 Answers Mary is part of the 20 Answers series from Catholic Answers, offering hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the Church and the world, all in a compact, easy-to-read package. Visit shop.catholic.com today and take a look at this exciting new series from Catholic Answers Press.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
What are you talking about? It's Thursday, so we get the groovy music. Congratulations, you're both here for groovy music. Groovy Music Thursday continues even on the last day of the year, even when we're doing a special program with the president of Catholic Answers, Chris Check, and with the director of the publishing arm of Catholic Answers, Todd Agliolaro. I'll throw myself in there. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, and we're doing a year in review. And probably the greatest thing of the year is the groovy music. I would say that's the number one thing of the year.
That's Nick Chamberlain on drums.
Yes, that is. And that is quite a few of your progeny.
That's
well.
Nicholas, on the guitar.
But that's Nick Check and the Dead Century, right?
Right.
Is the name of the...
I think they just call themselves the Dead Century now.
Uh-huh. Oh, Nick got demoted. All right, so...
They had trouble dividing up all those, you know, those $6 royalty checks that come in once a quarter from Spotify.
The Catholic Word or Phrase of 2020, I wasn't very clear on this, but there really wasn't one because people just, it was 150 different answers, but there were a few people, I tried to, if you had to pick a winner, it would be Free the Mass because there was a few people who said that, but it really wasn't impressive. So the most depressing news story of the year, I gave you three choices. These are the three top, the McCarrick report, the COVID-19 or the election. Which did our listeners, what do you guess our listeners picked as the most depressing story of the year?
I don't like that word depressing, but I can tell you what the I can tell you what the correct answer should be.
What
is the McCarrick report, but not for the reasons people think.
Well, what is the reason?
Because it really did reveal a crisis of unbelief, I think, in a large part of church leadership. That's the only explanation.
Yeah, and that's horrifying.
That this thing was allowed to happen.
Well, and the report itself landed with a thud. It did not give us the closure or the sense of throwing open the windows and cleansing that we'd hoped it would. And in fact, it sure seems like the number one lingering effect of it has been to see doubt cast upon John Paul II's papacy. He seems to be the one who came out of this the worst.
Yeah.
And not to...
Do you think unfairly so?
Well, no, I think it's fair to criticize the administrative moves of any pope, certainly, and those who know a lot about the papacy that I trust point out that he may have had deficiencies when it came to episcopal appointments and promotions and that sort of thing. So, and there may be reasons for that that are that put that into context. But his sanctity, his whole legacy of his world-changing papacy have come into question now, and we seem to got sidetracked onto that.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
And we didn't get the cleansing feeling that we'd hoped for from the report.
No, it's a year of no resolutions. That's the way I'm
for the church in America. This report, I conclude from this report for the church in America, that there is a crisis of unbelief in church leadership, in not just in bishops, in men who taught at seminaries, who ran seminaries, rectors, vocations directors, widespread knowledge of this grave evil behavior of a ranking prelate, and little to nothing was done. And there's the example, I think, in the report of Cardinal O'Connor, one man raising some objections. This is not the behavior of men who in their daily life are thinking that one day they're going to stand in front of God and be judged. And that's why I say a serious crisis of unbelief. And that to me, I think, well, that is terrifying. That's why I think depressing is the wrong word. The terrifying event of the year.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Is that this was brought into relief. Probably good that it was.
The one that our listeners picked, the McCarrick report and the COVID-19 were virtually tied. We don't have a big enough sample to be super precise. So let's say they were tied. The election far outstripped everything else, though. People found the election depressing. And it's interesting. There were some people who expressed support for Joe Biden who found the whole thing depressing. Some who obviously couldn't – they have nothing good to say about Joe Biden who found it depressing. Everybody seems to have to feel that the election was depressing.
Well, you know what else is funny about that? And by the election, I presume you mean the whole campaign season.
Yeah, I think that's probably what
– It was kind of like the phantom campaign. One candidate hardly left his basement. Mm-hmm. And the other found his natural strengths of playing to large crowds and that sort of thing severely hampered. We only had two debates,
that's right? Yeah.
There was so much less of the head to head conflict of ideas and personalities that we usually get fatigued by.
Right, yeah.
And so the whole thing just kind of came and went.
Felt like it didn't happen.
And yet it still depressed us.
That's it, right.
Maybe that's why.
Well, then it had all the controversy at the end, too, around... I mean, because it's a very close election, and in some states, a freakishly close election, then of course there's going to be, especially given the circumstances of the year, all this upset about, well, was it a valid election? Was it a fair election? However you might come down on whichever side you might, you're not going to have an election that close without that controversy. Mm-hmm. And so now we're left with a tremendously unsettled feeling that half the country is kind of happy with their candidate and half the country is like, I'm not even sure that was a legitimate election. That's not a resolution of anything. All right.
Well, and then the thing that's brought most into focus is this thing that we've been talking about in both hours, but just a great and obvious divide. And people's opinion on whether it's okay to kill a baby in the womb is a central question in this, but there are others as well.
All right. Well, let's move to the most inspiring most inspiring story of the year, according to our listeners. Number three, we have already discussed Courageous Priests. They chose Courageous Priests as the most inspiring news story of the year. Number two, was Cardinal Pell, was the release of Cardinal Pell. We haven't even talked about that.
Yeah, that was actually one, that was one of my choices for Catholic Story of the Year. Not only his, can we say acquittal? Was it an acquittal? It was some kind of, he was convicted, I know, originally. But
overturning of the conviction.
So, but then the subsequent revelation about Cardinal Becciu,
yes,
and his scandal and,
yeah, right,
and the,
so it could be, yeah,
nearly $1 million that he funneled into Australia for reasons that are still unclear. So that, of course, all stinks and suggests to us what we'd already suspected about the depths of financial corruption in the Vatican. So that can't be separated from Pell's story.
Moral corruption.
Certainly. They so often go hand in hand,
yes,
don't they?
The most inspiring news story, and I have to say again, this was quite scattered. This was a quite scattered category, but this was a clear winner, the appointment of Amy Comey Barrett. People found that to be the most inspiring news story of the year. I think pro-life, for any of us who have been in the pro-life movement for a long time, there's just something about her getting on that court that makes it feel hopeful in a way we have not felt hopeful in a long
time. I hate to throw cold water on this side.
Oh, stop throwing cold water.
No, listen, by the way, wonderful appointment, and please God, may she deliver. But the fact that abortion was not the issue in this election, and especially among Catholics, that it should have been, to me, indicates that this sense of victory is overstated.
Well, I'm gonna turn a flamethrower on Chris's cold water real quick, if I may,
nice.
Just to
boil
heat up.
Boil that cold water.
Well, it's actually not in direct response to his point, because I agree with his dismay over our inability to frame this preeminent issue of abortion properly. But it's not merely that she's now on the court and she's a vote and she's a voice for things that we support and she's a laudable woman. But it's also the exercise of political will that it took to get her there. And this speaks once again to something I raised earlier about our just displeasure with our political leaders who have not had the courage to carry water for pro-lifers and social conservatives. And you had this nomination come up at the very end of a term, and in a very divided Senate and a divided country. And it would have been the easiest thing in the world to have gone and picked another milquetoasty kind of candidate. Who is that? A suitor type of candidate, right?
Roberts,
the kind of candidates that Republican presidents have been giving us forever, and
Sandra Day O'Connor.
Yes, you know, the farther
Roger
you go,
Taney.
The farther you go back, I think the more we can give a pass, because the culture war hadn't well and truly heated up yet. But it is hot now, and we all know what the stakes are and what the context is, and they picked just an absolute controversial candidate, one who would be a sort of division, and they had the courage not only to make the nomination, but for the political
right.
machine to keep everybody in line and see her through to confirmation. Would have been very, very easy
yeah.
to display.
Do you know
a lack
why
a
political
there?
Machine does that? It's because they know there's a movement behind them to back them up. And it's the millions of people who built that movement who get the credit for this.
I don't know if that's true, Cy. I think this is the strength of will of a particular individual. And if what you're saying is so, then that there was the strength of the movement behind the decision, then why was it not more, I hate this word, impactful in the outcome of the election? Because if
how do you know it wasn't? I mean, it's
if that's the case,
yeah.
If that's the case, more than a majority of our country is at peace with killing a baby in the womb.
Have you not been watching the news?
That's
the case. That's a horrible truth, but they're at peace with it.
Well, then we're dead.
No,
we're
not necessarily.
I mean, you
no,
see these
because strong-willed minorities can forge the future and build a coalition that will eventually get even the lukewarm on board. So I don't think so. I mean, most people are lukewarm. That's the story of human history.
I say at peace with killing a baby in the womb. most.
This is the inspiring story we're doing right now, right?
Well, he's the cold water guy. It's not me. We have to do... now you seem genuinely offended.
No, I'm not.
Sorry.
Nothing you could say would offend me, Si.
Really?
I think her appointment was in large part due to the strength of will of Donald Trump. I'm going to repeat what I said. Had there been this sort of political will behind it, then the fact of it would have inspired people's votes. Because we want another appointment like this.
It was the whole confirmation process, and that wasn't
which
Trump.
She handled.
Those senators
beautifully.
Did not vote yes, thinking I'm going to give up my seat for this. They voted yes because they know there's millions of people that'll
and
back
that's
them up.
Always on their mind, their next election, their next check.
Yeah.
And I would take the results of this election with a grain of salt because of the irregularities.
It was a weird year.
Not just I'm not talking about the Dominion machines and that sort of thing, but just the mail-in voting. Created an election dynamic that we've never seen before.
And the lack of campaigning. I mean, the whole thing from beginning to end, it was a strange year. It's hard to draw conclusions from it. I have to take a break, and we'll come. When we come back, I got to tease this too before we go to the break. Catholic person of the year, Catholic story of the year. People wait all year for this. I believe by now it is a bigger story than the Time Magazine person of the year. Catholic Answers, Catholic Person of the Year, right after this.
What magazine?
Thank you.
This is Archbishop Paul Coakley of the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
He was a doctor of the church, a Carmelite, and one of the most famous mystics of all time.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. John of the Cross wanted to help all Christians to become saints. One of his most important teachings was to encourage us all to learn how to love. For there is no love, he said, put love, and you will find love. He died in 1591.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
All right, Catholic, we're in our last segment of a review of the year 2020. Our guests are Todd Aglioloro, the Director of Publishing here at Catholic Answers, and Chris Check, the President of Catholic Answers. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. But we don't decide this. None of us decides this. This is voted on by the members of the Catholic Answers Radio Club, of which there are 14,000 members, all of whom were invited to participate. And if they wanted to, as a matter of fact, they were invited twice. So if they didn't participate, it's because they were busy doing other things. Catholic Answers, story of the year. I feel terrible. I've misplaced the email that I have the answers in. Do you guys remember? Have anybody remember who the Catholic story of the year? Oh, I can do it. I got it on this one. Do you want to go 1, 2, 3? Justice Amy Coney Barrett was number 3. Number 2 was the election of President Joe Biden, and number 1 was it was expressed in various different ways, including the bishops caving and the church not believing in the sacraments anymore. But the closing of the churches was the number 1 Catholic news story of the year.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I do too.
In that order, you're happy with all of them?
Well, I don't know, but I think the most significant thing that happened in the lives of Catholics in 2020 was being denied by the being denied the sacraments, and in part of the culpability goes to the leadership of the church.
Okay,
Yeah, I mean, we spoke about this in the first hour, the relative fecklessness of our leadership in signaling to us how important it is that we're there in church and that we're receiving the sacraments, and that's impactful.
One thing that I wanted to mention the runners up, and I didn't mention them, and partly because of time, but one thing that I did want to mention was some people did choose. This was not first, second, or third place. This would be a fourth place, a distant fourth place. The Pope's treatment of Chinese Catholics. Does either of you? I have to say, I feel like I should be better versed in that because I'm surprised when I, like, for example, see a poll, how many people mention the Pope's treatment of Chinese Catholics. It seems to me that these matters of state, really, these are complex, and people don't remember that this is just my take, that over the course of the years, the Holy See has had to come to accommodations with all kinds of different regimes in all kinds of different ways. And it's not necessarily, I'm probably Pope-splaining now, but it's not necessarily an abandonment of the Chinese people to do something on the international stage that's not agreed with within the country of reference. You know, you think about Paul VI and his real politic with the Soviet Union, you can criticize him for it. And many people do. Many people say Paul VI got it completely wrong in his treatment of the Iron Curtain countries. But it is part of the job of a pope to exist in the real world and find accommodations with these regimes.
Pope St. Pius V excommunicated Queen Elizabeth. I know, and as a consequence of that, the martyrdoms picked up considerably. I know very good men, good faithful Catholic men and historians who think this was a mistake for Pope St. Pius V.
Thomas a Becket was martyred in part for his opposition to lay investiture. And that's part of the deal that we have with China now, that the church has with China. We grant the state their power to, explicitly select the bishops, maybe to put up a certain number of candidates. I forget the details of it, but it's a shade on lay investiture. It's a shade of it. So this represents a change in both those historical examples. But it's all in the prudential order. So is the Pope and by extension all those parts of the Curia that deal? I guess the Secretary of State.
I called the Secretary of State.
Secretariat of State.
Yeah.
Are they playing a kind of 3D chess? Is there a long game here?
Exactly, but you don't know.
And that's the assumption that we're required to make in order to support this sort of thing. And of course, we all want to be more gung ho about it and not be so accommodationist. But that's a matter of debate. I don't know what the answer is.
I can say in this case, it's completely out of my competence to say something about it.
All right, it's time. I don't know if we have a drum roll or anything. I didn't prepare you for that, Nick, and I apologize. The most important announcement basically in the year 2020 made by any institution on the planet Earth we're about to make, and I don't even know if we have a drum roll ready for it. The Catholic person, I saw you. I was being subtle. That was...
I thought Carl Keating outlawed sound effects on this show like 20 years ago or something. Yeah, it's like Patrick Coffin with the mouth noises and the sound effects, and then Carl told him to stop, and there have never been sound effects ever since.
Well, this...
It's the legacy of Carl Keating.
This announcement...
And there's a reason why.
This announcement is so important. I thought that it was, that a drum roll was necessary. And it's not necessarily a sound effect, it's music. That's music. A drum roll is music, it's not just a sound effect. See? What? I pulled that out.
Where is it?
No, we're not ready yet.
Okay,
so I picked the top three. I want to tell you that two and three are essentially tied. Again, the sample size is not big enough to be very precise about this. And the number one person had a considerable lead. We'll get to what my thoughts about that are as we go. The number two and three persons of the year, Catholic person of the year. Now I go? Okay. I'm just messing with you, Nick. Okay. Amy Comey Barrett and Archbishop Vigano.
They're and two and three?
They're three and two. Two and three. They go back. They're
T3. Three.
Okay. Yeah. They're.
Okay.
I mean, we've spoken about it. We have not said, we've spoken about Justice Barrett. We have not said anything about Archbishop Vigano. Do you want to say anything about Archbishop Vigano before I tell you the Catholic Person of the Year, according to Catholic Answers listeners?
Well, he's had kind of a prolific year as a letter writer, I think. It seemed mm-hmm. like once a month there was something new coming over, ranging far and wide, so it's kind of hard to pin down a single area in which he had an impact. Certainly not to the degree that he did last year. Was it last year? Was it 2 years ago?
Yeah, last year. Well, 2018.
It was 2 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's right. But also, there was some implication that he wasn't quite the administrative powerhouse that he had suggested about himself in dealing with McCarrick in the McCarrick report itself.
I felt bad for Archbishop Vigano when, in the wake of the immediate wake of the election, he started saying things that he could not have known, such as more people voted in this state than there were registered voters, or things like that.
Oh,
how he could possibly have known that? He couldn't possibly have known that, and so I believe that his intent is a man of good intention, but I just think that it's once you become a public figure, it's important to be very, very careful about what you say.
There was a purity to his original letter that...
His second letter was the best one.
Oh, yes.
I think his second letter was the very, very best one.
All right, it's time for the Person of the Year, Catholic Answers Person of the Year. We've come right down to the very last moments of 2020, and the Catholic Answers Person of the Year... Bishop of Tyler, Texas, Joseph Strickland.
An author...
Bishop Joe.
Wow, that's
and author of a new title from Catholic Answers Press.
That's why I was. Part of me is wondering. Well, is
did
this
Dominion do the voting for this?
I mean, it's because these are our friends. You know, the Catholic Answers Radio Club, mm-hmm. and we published the book with them this year. We did a bunch of interviews
and
with them.
God willing, he will be our keynote speaker at our conference in September.
But his reach goes far beyond what we do. But I just. You know, he is one of us. So it's like the fact that I compare it just a little bit to the fact that we win best Catholic media outlet every year in this poll because it's our poll. Bishop Joseph Strickland does have a wonderful book called Light and Leaven from Catholic Answers Press.
Do you know anything about that book, Sai?
I do know some things about it. I know that this is Todd Egliolaro is able to bring in world-class authors to do world-class work, and he did it again.
And a world-class interviewer who participated in the writing of that book. And Sai's also too modest to mention that he wrote an excellent foreword for Light and Leaven.
Which is, I mean, I'm a little hurt that I wasn't even mentioned for Catholic Person of the Year. I mean, not even a mention of me.
I think Bishop Strickland's winning this award, and presumably a nice ham, speak
yeah,
to what Chris has been saying a few times, rightly so, during these 2 hours about the deficit of faith.
Yeah, and he doesn't have that
and
deficit.
And he has
believes
the opposite of it in spades. Right. And his forthrightness, his plain-spokenness about it, his zeal
right.
for conflict with the world is so cheering and so inspiring to many Catholics, among which, you know, we count many of our listeners.
Yeah, I think
Amen.
That's exactly right.
Totally agree.
I think when he says things like, do we believe Catholic doctrine or not, the Catholic laity are just fired up by that. And I wish, I hope that the support for Bishop Strickland will encourage other bishops to get out there and be forceful. I'm sorry I won't get your predictions for next year. Either of you predicting a deadly virus for next year? Because neither of you predicted it for last year.
COVID-21. Here we come.
Todd Egliolaro is the Director of Publishing here at Catholic Answers. Thank you very much, Todd. Happy New Year.
Always
happy
great year.
Solemnity of the Virgin.
It's
tomorrow, Sai.
That's Chris Check, President of Catholic Answers. And thank you, Chris. Thanks for doing this with us. I'm Sai Kellett, your host. We better say this to end the year. Jesus Christ is the light of the nations. We'll see you next time right here on Catholic Answers Live.